From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
You know how it goes, especially in those tempting first spring-like days. You're barely out of bed before you're out in the garden having at it, and then by day's end, your body's screaming that maybe, just maybe, you overdid it a little. Well, let's slow down and get more mindful and take better care of our most important gardening tool, our body. Let's get garden fit with help from season 2 of the public television program by that name, whose creator is here today. So more in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Madeline Hooper, a former public relations executive and passionate gardener, created the Garden Fit program in 2022 for public television. The format is a series of visits to private gardens nationwide, combined with lessons with the gardener behind each landscape on how to garden smarter, how to fine-tune our movements to maximize performance and minimize injury. Now season 2 has just debuted, and she's here today to share some of the tune-ups she learned along the way. Hi, how are you, Madeline?
Good morning, Margaret. I'm great. How are you?
Are you garden fit?
I am garden fit.
I did what I said in the introduction. I ran out there on the first springy like day and, you know, could barely get up the stairs by the evening.
Yeah, that's always a tough day.
Yeah. So yes. Tell us that, right? It's like with food, sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomachs or whatever. So tell us the basic, just quickly, the basic conceit of, you know, of Garden Fit, and then also about the kinds of gardens you visited this year, because it's kind of like a road trip, and also this learning, not just about gardens, but about taking care of ourselves.
Well, I'd love to. I think, you know, enthusiasm is a word you can associate with most gardeners. So I do the same thing that you just did. And in being so enthusiastic, I pretty much overdid it all the time. And as you know, I really felt very strongly that once I actually got a solution to using my body correctly by, you know, seeing a trainer and learning things that just, you know, never came up before, how to bend, how to lift, how to get up and down from the ground, all the things that gardeners do endlessly. And it's easy to stress your body, obviously, with all these repetitive, rather physical moves or tasks. And so I got really excited because I think all of us should not lose our enthusiasm, just lose the aches and pains that go with it.
Yes.
So that was fun. And it was fun visiting so many people because, like everyone, Margaret, and you've written about so many of these people, their gardens and their environment are so special. And it's just a treat to match the personality and the creativity of a person with how they actually garden. So I think people will enjoy seeing that,
right?
Especially in season 2, because in season 1, we visited people whose profession or absolute hobby, obsession was gardening. And in season 2, we visited people who were artists in a lot of different fields, but they also garden passionately. So okay. That was the difference.
Okay. So there's kind of a theme within the tour around the country,
exactly.
Gardens in all different regions. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think underscoring sort of the whole show, and I watched, you know, season 1 and I watched the start of season 2, you know, sharpening your pruners isn't enough prep for a day in the garden, is it?
It isn't.
I mean, before, it's the interesting thing is, and you said it kind of in your introduction there, you know, before we know, before we play a sport, you know, even when we're in school, they make us warm up, or when we go to the gym, they make us warm up, you know, everything else physical, there's like a warm up, there's like a prep. But with gardening, we just race out the door and we start, you know, wildly doing things.
Yeah.
So do you warm up? Is that part of becoming garden fit?
Well, I do warm up because I've been taught to do that, and I have the benefit of actually making that a habit. So when I walk out, literally with my most important garden tool, with me just going to get my tools, I already start warming up when I'm walking. Like, I'll clasp my hands behind my back, Margaret, you know, and then it opens up my chest, and I, as I breathe and let them slope down my back, I really feel this stretch, and I'm opening myself up not only physically, but I even think mindfully to my garden. So mm-hmm. a lot of the things that you can do just walking to get, you know, your shovel or wheelbarrow is really exciting. I practice turning my arms inside and rotating them outside and just getting ready to prune correctly, and just different things that I feel get me even more excited about gardening, believe it or not. It's not something that I feel these warm-ups or even cool downs are in the way. Now it's actually part of my garden routine. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And I hope people kind of get that this just adds to the joy of gardening, mm-hmm. and also lessens any, you know, after effects.
Right. Exactly. You said make a habit, and really that's what garden fit. I mean, that's one of the principles, isn't it? That we need to make these sort of new habits.
It is. And, you know, this season, you know, I worked with a great trainer and personal trainer in season one. And for season two, I'm working with Adam Sherston, who is also a personal trainer, but his expertise is also posture and mindful ways to use the body correctly. And so in order to make a habit, your body has to feel like it's in a better place. And if you learn the right parts of your body to use, the right joints to use, as opposed to the ones that just, unfortunately your body goes into sometimes, I still don't understand why, but naturally. I mean, people bend and they bend incorrectly, meaning that they will, if you do that a lot, your back's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. If you do it the correct way, using the right joints and the right muscles, it's a joy. It even strengthens your body. So I think it's just this idea of absorbing this training, if you will, to the sport of gardening, just mm-hmm. like what you were saying, Margaret.
So in the first couple of seasons, would you say there's some sort of, like, if you had to say the things I would tell you, the high points that I would tell you other gardeners to be mindful of, careful of, to concentrate on, whatever. Are there a few like key tips, so to speak? You were mentioning bending and so forth. Are there a couple that over and over again, at each garden that you go to, and this year again, of these artists who also garden, mm-hmm. where over and again, you almost did, you discussed that same thing with almost everybody, that we all need to remember.
Yeah, I think there are a few things. These are really Adam's points more than mine. I kind of learned from him a whole new perspective about how you stack your spine. So a lot of people talk about posture, and a lot of our guests, Frances Palmer, the ceramicist, she really wanted to talk posture. And so this idea of putting your body in the right alignment so you remember it. So even if you have to bend, you're not going to be able to stay in perfect posture as soon as you start getting active, but you can go back to it when you're done with that task, and it kind of rights the body again. So this idea of aligning your body correctly was something that we shared with everybody, whether it was on camera or not. Adam, this is one of Adam's key principles, body alignment.
Okay. So stacking the spine, being
stacking the spine,
aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Another key thing that we found a lot of gardeners asking about, and actually, unfortunately, not doing correctly yet, was when people reach high or reach up, they tend to reach not only with their arm, but their shoulder comes up. And that's a real good way of hurting your shoulders.
Oh. So
this idea of learning how to, the right shoulder control, about how to have your shoulders and your shoulder blades going down your back, So you can just raise your arm without also hunching up. And that really saves a lot of aches and pains. So that was kind of a constant theme.
Mm-hmm. And obviously we'll give, with the transcript of this show, we're going to give links to where people can watch episodes and see these principles that you're talking about in action, because it is hard in some cases to describe with the shoulder and not reaching with your shoulder, but reaching with your arm and the right shoulder position and so forth. But that would be demonstrated. Yeah.
And in pretty much every single episode, there were 13, Adam has new ways of thinking literally about how you're using your body while you're gardening. And he shows people how to massage certain areas that are typically aggravated, how to strengthen them, as well as the right body movement. So I think if people watch that by the end, they would be garden fit.
Right. Right. I mean, one thing that I remember from season one, and I wonder, I'm pretty sure it would come up again, because so much of gardening is kind of one-sided, one-handed, so to speak. And, you know, I was raking the other day in my ridiculous first foray outside. And I still feel it a week later. Do you know what I mean? The one side that just does most of the work. I'm right-handed. And the one side that sort of turns and makes most of the effort, I can feel where I was raking, you know? And so I remember in season one, you talked about being sort of becoming ambidextrous. Now, is that something that you were talking about with people this season as well?
Yes. I mean, I think that's a theme throughout. To use your body correctly, you need to use both sides.
Yes.
And it's just such common sense. But again, because we have a favorite hand or side that we use all the time, that's a habit that has to change into a better habit. So I can honestly say now, I never use one side of my body, whether I'm digging, clipping, hauling things, you know, pulling a tarp. I always change sides, and it has become absolutely normal for me. So I don't feel like I'm not using the right side anymore. It's amazing how quickly your body, again, will accept a better way to do things.
But the first time if I'm raking in the one direction as a right-handed person, and then I go to do it to the other side because you sort of taught me about it a couple of years ago and so forth, and it's in my mind. The first few times, I don't want to do it. I don't like it. I don't feel efficient. I don't feel as strong. Do you know what I mean? And I have to push past that hesitation, right? And say, no, but this is going to be okay. And this is going to get better, right?
Yeah. I sort of liken this to the fact that we all know that the hole we're putting the new plant in has to be bigger or deeper to a certain extent. And you push yourself, right? You're tired and you want to get that plant in so badly, but you make the hole the right size.
Right.
That's how you have to feel when you're using the new side of your body. Because really, I'm sure, I hope by now it's easy for you, Margaret, a lot easier to rake both ways.
It does. It definitely comes in time. But the first few times you try to do it, it doesn't feel natural. And you want to go to your stronger, your dominant side. You know, that's your inclination. You've been doing it for years, you know.
Yeah. And I think part of that, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I don't want to assume that everybody's like this, but when I'm doing garden tasks, I'm kind of hurrying to get them done. Uh-huh. I'm not really enjoying my body while I'm doing it. And I think that's part of understanding, like you just started our discussion about your body being your most important tool. Enjoy that. So, you know, it's kind of fun to train the other side as opposed to, oh dear, this doesn't, you know, I'm never going to feel good doing it this way. Right. So I think if you have that good attitude about, oh my goodness, gardening is using your body correctly, it comes easier. There are less barriers.
I think in season two, and I can't remember if it was in season one as well, but I think you even sort of get down to the level of being more mindful of how we even do something as small, in a way, small seeming, as how we grip our pruning shears. Do you know what I mean? And so tell us about that kind of what seems like finesse, but it's not, because our hands get really exhausted after years of gardening.
Exactly. And I must say, this is something that Adam really changed a habit for me almost instantly. So you'll see in one of our episodes, it's the one where we went to New Orleans, and the gentleman, Leslie, loves to prune. So he really has this Japanese pruning craze in his head about all plants. And Adam showed him where to place the pruners in his hand so that he's not using the thumb joint. He's really just using the fingers, and the pruners rest in the middle of your palm. And I don't know if that's helpful, Margaret, if that sounds right.
Well, and when you said it, I'm right away feeling the base of my thumb, which is where I have all the pain from all the years of letting the handle rub there.
Right. Exactly. So just place it down a little further, really almost smack in the middle of your palm again, and just let your fingers do the actual effort of squeezing it against your palm, not against that thumb joint, which so easily gets, you know, really kind of painful.
Well, and that's where a lot of people get arthritis with any kind of one-handed, you know, any kind of thing that they do repetitive with one hand, is that's the key place for some great arthritis and so forth eventually.
One little trick that I found was trying to learn to use my other hand. You know, when you're deadheading and you sort of follow the stem, like if you're deadheading a hosta flower, you know, and you just let the clippers slip down that stem to the bottom and then you clip. I found that that was such an easy guide that sometimes it was so much easier to use the other hand to actually deadhead with. And now I deadhead almost all the time with the other hands. They're little tricks that each of us will learn to make it, again, easier to be ambidextrous.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the other things that's very hard on bodies of any age is all the kneeling. And a lot of times we're on ground that's even on hardscape, you know what I mean? People are kneeling and you're trying to get to something and you're kneeling and you're reaching across a bed and whatever. And so any advice there for kneeling? I mean, because
I have to just sort of repeat what Adam has said to me, use a knee pad.
Yeah.
You know, a knee pad that's attached to your clothes, you know, that you literally put on your knees, or one that you use on the ground. So now I have done that because, you know, it is a lot of pressure, your whole body weight. Just think about that when you're on your knees. So I think it's important to use a knee pad and do a lot of weeding or groundwork using a knee pad. We also still love this squat position, which we call the armchair in season one, which is really, I do a lot of work in pruning and working close to the ground, like weeding, in that position too, because I feel it strengthens my body. I kind of like the feel of that now.
Right. And what I'll do is I'll include with the transcript, I'll include a video of the armchair position, because it is it's an improved version of sort of crouching of getting way down there, but it's an improved, a smarter version.
Yeah. Well, and it's because it allows you to put the weight of your body by putting your hand on one leg, then you have one hand free to prune with. So if you don't have to weed with, if you don't have to use both hands for the weeds that you're trying to get up, it's really a way of cutting down on so much stress on your body. It's great.
Right. So I was curious about, you said you went to all these artists' gardens and you mentioned Francis Palmer, the ceramic artist, and so forth. And so any others that you just want to sort of just a couple of examples
We went to this artist, Jose Alvarez de Opie, and Jose started a 2-acre tropical garden in Fort Lauderdale by himself. And now the plants are so gigantic. It's a whole jungle environment. And because he's a visual artist, he does absolutely beautiful paintings. They're very abstract, but they're very colorful. And they almost look like his garden to me now, even though, of course, nothing. I mean, it's interesting, Margaret, how these artists, whether they were musicians or we went to visit Alice Waters, you know, who certainly started the whole farm to table movement and is so concerned about what we grow and that we, you know, consume food that's close to where we live. And it has so many wonderful, important things to teach people about health and gardens. I feel all of them are so inspired by nature. They do take the time to look and listen. And I don't think they could live a day without being in their garden. So that was really impressive because these people are busy and have huge lives. And a lot of them traveled. You know, we visited this woman, Cynthia Myers, who is the flautist for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. So when they're in session, you know, she can't even be home in her garden, which is also pollinating plants. I mean, she's the person, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, who literally has gardens full of what I would call weeds, because she just loves letting whatever seeds are in the soil around her home grow. Uh-huh. And she just cultivates them in such an interesting way. So I feel like I learned a lot from each guest gardener this season about why they made the choices they did and what's in their garden. There's a bigger variety of types of gardens, I think, too.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, do you have sort of a, you know, you were talking about how important it's been for you to learn about sort of warming up, but right. Do you sort of have an Achilles heel? Haha. Do you have, was there something that when you started doing this show that you hoped most to find a solution for or mitigate in some way? Was there some, you know, did you have a particular thing? Like, you know, some people it's knees or some people it's backache or whatever. Right. Yeah.
Yes. There,
yeah.
I definitely. Yeah. So my upper shoulder area, my back to my neck hurt me every morning. I would get up every morning and really have pain or unfortunately a headache. That part of me just seems to be where all the tension goes. And then on top of that, doing all the activities that I was doing, if somebody had taken a picture of me, Margaret, when I, how I used to garden, I would look like I was creating stress to my body or pain, literally it would be painful.
So become a gardener, get stressed, get more stressed.
Yes. I think we do that for other reasons, right? So I think again, just learning the correct form, the way to use my body. So when I bend over or in, you know, I think one of my key things is if I'm deadheading again, I put one foot in the direction I'm bending so that I can keep my back straight and not hunched up and just use my hip joints. Mm-hmm. So I'm bending from my hip, not from my back. I don't have to hunch over anymore. Hmm. And the relief of that, again, changes the joy and, of course, takes away the pain.
And that probably took a while, though, to retrain kind of your brain to sort of say, okay, wait a minute, no. Point the foot, follow the hip, you know.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that, again, watching the show or, you know, even our socials, there's repetitive visuals of that. I don't do it exactly right all the time. I probably don't even do it exactly right half the time. But now I'm aware when I'm not in the right position and I know how to correct it. So that's sort of part of the journey of getting Gordon fit. You know, I mean, we're all human. You know, I'm going to bend over and pick up something that I dropped on the floor. I'm not going into the armchair all the time. Although I find that I laugh at myself because I find that I'm overdoing certain good form things just to do simple tasks.
taking it to an extreme, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So in the last, you know, we have like 3-4 minutes and other kinds of, I mean, from this season, especially, were there other things that you saw that, you know, kind of were like a light bulb for the most people that really, you know, you kept hearing over and again and people really appreciated any other?
Yeah. One more light bulb that I think, again, is one of Adam's key things is that if you could just picture yourself like shearing a hedge with a lopper and your elbows tend to be pointed outward. And if you rotate them in and then just, again, use the whatever tool you're using, if they're, you know, clippers, you'll feel less stress in your shoulders and your arms. So you can use your wrists to make the adjustment to hold the tool correctly. That was a huge aha for a lot of our guests. They love that idea.
So not the arms, the elbows flaring out when we're using a big cutting tool like a lopper or
exactly.
a shears.
Exactly.
Okay.
Make sure that they're turning in.
Okay.
And then you can adjust again your hands, your wrists to turn any way you want to make it comfortable. But that was a big aha, I think. And I think it was a big aha for people about how to get up and down from the ground, because in a lot of cases, you know, Adam showed the right alignment. So when you are getting up, if you're on two knees or if, you know, if you're just working on even one knee and the other leg is up in front, to make sure your body's aligned in a certain way where your hips are, that hip isn't out or on in a position where if you got up when you're not aligned, you really would be straining your hips and your back. So I think there's a lot of, again, visual understanding of what your body can and should look like in the show. And then people can easily follow it. Everything's easy. Nothing requires, you know, exercises or exercise equipment. It's just stuff we can do in the garden.
Right. I love the idea, though, of even if each of us listening does nothing else this year, but what you were describing, and it was making a mental image for me, on our way out to the garden, before we get to the garage to get our shovel or whatever, just stretching those arms and clasping them behind us and lifting them and lowering them and maybe rotating our shoulders. And you know what I mean? Just, if nothing else, if we just warm up for 3 minutes, you know,
yeah, I think that makes such a difference.
Yeah.
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 Exciting.
Well, yeah. And so I'm going to give all the info with the transcript again about how to access the show and where everyone can view it and so forth. So the new season is underway, huh?
It is. Yep. So the first, every week now there'll be a new episode. So you can, you know, see it on pbs.org/gardenfit or look at your local TV listings. So I'm really excited. It's kind of out there.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. And yeah, it's I can't. And the other thing, we minimized this, but it's no small matter. Incredible gardens. I mean, the pictures I saw that they shared with me. I mean, it's like if you just want to watch it for the garden touring is great, too. So
I hope so.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret.
Madeline, and I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you again soon.
Great.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon as well. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening. In a garden fit way, of course. Meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.